In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. Jesus had called his disciples to join with him in his mission, his declaration of God's kingdom, his liberation of the crowds who were oppressed by evil spirits, diseases, you name it. Jesus, through that time, was teaching the disciples that his kingdom of God that he was bringing into the world was all about trust. Trust and not fear. Now, as Jesus continues his ministry, we find that a lawyer, a guy who was very educated in the teachings of the Lord, comes up to Jesus and begins to question him, asking him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This question was really the fundamental question for the people of Israel. They believed that they had been called to be God's children. And children, as we know, inherit their father's possessions. This man is asking, what must I do to be part of God's family, to be his child, to inherit the promised land, to inherit the life that God promised for his faithful children? Jesus, likely seeing that this man is a teacher of the Torah, of the law, says, "Well, what do you read? What does God himself have to say about this subject?" The man answers, "Well, love the Lord your God with literally everything you are. And love your neighbor as much as you love yourself." Jesus responds, "Exactly. It's that simple. Do this and you will live. Listen to what God asks of you and you will be his child." You nailed it. As we know, that's all it takes to really functionally live as the child in a household. Children and families and parents aren't ultimately defined by bloodlines. They're ultimately defined by the structure of the family. Children often get themselves disowned because they do not listen to their parents. It's simple. You want to be God's child? Listen to him. And do it. And you will share in his inheritance. But the man, wanting to justify himself, wanting to kind of tweak and mess with God's law, not really wanting to take God's word at face value, says, "But wait, Jesus, I've got a question. Who exactly is my neighbor? If I can limit who my neighbor is in ways that are really helpful, this will make this a lot easier. Hopefully my neighbor is just other Jewish men of standing, of purity, of wealth and power. It'd be real easy to love my little clique. So Jesus, who's my neighbor?" And Jesus launches into a story. So there's a man traveling down the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. And on the way, he's jumped by terrorists, hiding in the hills, take everything that he has, beat him half to death, and leave him literally for dead. Now along this road comes a couple of guys, a priest and a Levite, men who are heading to Jerusalem to do their service in the temple. The service of God, offering sacrifices, taking care of the daily prayers. These men were on a mission about God's work. And as they see this man half dead on the side of the road, potentially dead, they move far away and go around him. They can't risk getting unclean with blood or a dead body that would ruin them for their temple service. So around they go. But then a third man comes down the road, the worst enemy of this man, Samaritan. Samaritans were the worst enemies of the Jews because it was a family feud, and as we know, the greatest enemies are when families fracture in half. These Samaritans And these Jews hated each other with a passion. But as the Samaritan comes down the road, he sees a man in need. He immediately goes over to him, drops everything he's doing, takes care of his wounds, bandages him, gets himself unclean, puts him on his donkey, and takes him to a place to stay. Then he forks over money, lots of money, for this guy to be taken care of, and gives the innkeeper a blank check. Take care of whatever he needs. I will foot the bill. No matter what it is, I'll be back to reimburse you. So Jesus asked the man, which of these three do you suspect was a good neighbor? I could just see the man probably hanging his head in a little bit of shame, not even being able to say the word Samaritan. He just says, the one who showed him mercy. Bingo. Now go and do likewise. Jesus then finds himself in a new village, and he finds himself invited into the house of a lady, Martha. Martha has a sister, Mary, and Mary begins to sit at the feet of Jesus, just fascinated with everything that he's teaching. Martha, on the other hand, is really hell-bent, if you will, on showing proper hospitality to Jesus. And so she's busying herself with all the tasks around the house. Eventually, Martha gets frustrated beyond all belief, comes up to Jesus and says, look, my sister is simply sitting here listening to you while I am running around the house making sure that everything is in proper order. Tell her to get up and help me. Martha. Martha, Mary has chosen the only thing that's needed. And that's not going to be taken away from her. The only thing that's needed. Jesus had just taught the lawyer, go and do likewise and you will live. But now we find Martha doing. But we find that doing doesn't lead to life. What matters is a particular kind of doing. Doing that comes from the only thing needed. Sitting. Stopping. Listening to what Jesus has to say. Listening to the word of the Lord. If you want to be his child, you can't just run around choosing the things that you do. Listen first to what he's saying, and then go and do it. Jesus then escapes, and we find him praying. The disciples are fascinated by this, and they see that Jesus is, in fact, embodying what he's just been teaching, the one thing needful. Jesus is sitting at the feet of his heavenly Father in regular prayer. So the disciples say, teach us what it means to pray. And Jesus says, it's simple. God is your Father. Go to him as a child would. Listen to what he is teaching you and asking you to do. And then ask him for what you need in the way a child would ask a father. And do it shamelessly. Don't worry about waking your dad up in the middle of the night if you need something. Go to him boldly. And don't worry. Your father's only going to give you good things when you ask him for what you need. If you ask for a scorpion or a snake, don't expect it. He will give you good gifts only as a loving father does. He will protect you. He will provide for you. Simply sit at the feet of your Father. Look to him for guidance and provision. So Jesus then goes out and continues his ministry. And he finds himself casting out a spirit from a man. And in the midst of this, the authorities are again hounding him. And there they begin to challenge Jesus, saying, look, you're from Satan. You are throwing out the demons based on Satan's power. And if you want us to think you're from God, give us a sign, a sign from heaven that we can believe in. Jesus responds, so if I'm from Satan and I'm casting out Satan's minions, that means Satan is divided. He's fighting himself. His kingdom is collapsing. But look, if I'm from God, then that means the kingdom of God is in your midst and it's come to challenge you. A woman in the crowd cries out, blessed is the womb of your mother who gave birth to you. Jesus responds, no. No, no, no. Rather, blessed are the ones who listen to the word of God and obey it. And look, if you're looking for a sign, you evil generation, you're not going to get it. The only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah the prophet. Remember that prophet. He went to the great Assyrian Empire and he told them to repent. He brought the word of God to them. This lowly, broken, half disobedient man walks into the midst of the Assyrian Empire saying, God is calling you to repent. And what happened? The sign of Jonah. The Assyrians repented. They listened to the word of God and they changed their lives. That is the only sign you're going to get. Don't expect a flashy sign from heaven. You are simply going to get the sign of Jonah. Somebody proclaiming God's word to you. And if you listen and obey, there it is. And be careful. Be aware of your eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. What you focus on sets the course of your entire life. Be careful what you're focused on. Be careful whose feet you're sitting at. Be careful who you're listening to. What's coming in you is filling you. If you're focused on darkness, listening to darkness, you will be a display of darkness in the world. Pay attention to what you're focusing on. Then finally, Jesus gets invited to dinner by a Pharisee. And Jesus sits down for dinner, and the Pharisee's mind is blown as Jesus does not do the proper ritual washings before dinner. Jesus sees this man's angst over him refusing to wash in their special ceremonial ways, and Jesus calls him out. You hypocrites! You're so worried about your show that you look clean and pretty on the outside, but inside, you're disgusting. You hypocrites! Get rid of Give away all those things that you're secretly hiding and holding for yourself. Give them away as compassionate gifts for the poor. Clean the inside of yourself and then you will be pure. Look at you. You run around pretending to be generous. Ooh, you gave a tithe to the temple. Big deal. Y'all are greedy. Look at how much money you have left. Oh, you run around pretending like you listen to God's prophets. You've built their graves, but you're the ones who killed them. You run around pretending to be humble. But look at you. All you want is power and prestige and titles, you hypocrites. You run around pretending like you're here to help people obey God's word, but you are the actual barrier to God's people obeying him. Hypocrites. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, beware of this hypocrisy you see. This is the greatest enemy of God's people. People who pretend to be on God's side, but through the inside, and when you look into their lives, it's all a joke. They say they listen to the Lord, but they don't really obey him. They say, we follow the Lord. We're on God's side, but when you examine their lives, emptiness, greed, power hungry, leading people away from true obedience to the Lord. So do not fear these hypocrites. Don't play their games. Fear only God. Give all of your allegiance to Him. Listen to Him alone. Obey Him alone. He will protect you. They may try to kill you, but God raises the dead. He will protect every hair on your head. Trust. This section is unpacking that word that we've seen come up over and over in Luke's gospel. What is true trust? It's simple from Jesus' perspective. Simply listen to what God is saying and do it. That's it. That's trust. How can you say you trust God and His word if you listen to His word and you're unwilling to risk your life on that word? You want to live? You want to be God's child? You want to be a part of God's kingdom and everything that He's doing? Then live by faith. Live by trust. Listen to that word. And do it. And you'll live. So simple. Yet, have we been corrupted by the hypocrisy that Jesus challenges head on in the text? Have we become a people who pretend? We put on a show of being Christians to the world, but if you were to examine the depths of our lives, we'd find great emptiness. And it's all a show. We're fakes. Root out the hypocrisy in your life. There is no greater urgent task for you to undertake than getting rid of the hypocrisy in your life. Be like Mary. The one thing needed is simple. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Find the time and the space to sit at His feet every day. Listen to what He has to say. And do it. Beg to God for His Spirit to fill you, to give you the power to walk in His ways, that He would be your companion on this journey. You want to be God's child. You want to inherit His world, His life, His goodness. Then sit at His feet. Give yourself to Him in true humility. Let His word wash over you. Let His teachings guide you. Let them fill you. Do this, and you will live. Amen.